Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248 DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
News, talk, and sports on both sides of the dial from Wisconsin Rapids and beyond. Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, your home for original.
I'm Steve Kathan. Secretary of State Blinken has postponed next week's planned diplomatic trip to China. It comes after a suspected Chinese spy balloon was seen over Montana. It's now high over the Midwest.
U.S. officials say the balloon is traveling at an altitude of 66,000 feet and maneuvering as it is blown on a trajectory that is expected to take it across the United States. The Pentagon continues to track it on radar and at times has it under visual observation. Military officials have recommended against shooting it down for now because of the danger it would pose to people on the ground. But officials say that recommendation could change once the balloon gets over an unpopulated area. David Martin, CBS News, Washington.
China insists it's a civilian research balloon and has expressed regrets. The government says employers added 517,000 jobs last month. CBS's Jill Schlesinger says that's considered a strong number.
The January jobs report underscores the message that Jerome Powell gave during his press conference this week. Although economic growth is weakening, the labor market remains resilient, which means the Fed is likely to continue raising interest rates, maybe two more times at a quarter point each, so that wage growth starts to come down and inflation readings improve.
Wind chills this morning in the upper Midwest were in the 25 below zero range. WCBS meteorologist Craig Allen says the brutal cold is now pushed east.
The winds continue to increase. They'll be running at gale force, running 20 to 30 and gusting over 40 miles per hour at times through the day today. And the temperature and wind combination will keep driving the wind chill down until it reaches dangerously low levels, anywhere from minus 10 to as low as minus 40 or minus 50.
Honda and the government are urging owners of thousands of older vehicles not to drive them until dangerous airbag inflators are replaced. Here's Jeff Gilbert of Detroit affiliate WWJ.
These are older 01 to 03 Hondas and Acuras with non-repaired Takata airbags. Honda says there are 8,200 vehicles out there that have a high risk of having the airbag inflator rupture that can cause death or serious injury. You can check with a dealer or the NHTSA.gov recall database.
A Republican bill in Arizona would restrict drag shows in the state.
It's not R-rated, it's X-rated entertainment.
GOP Senator John Kavanaugh says under the bill, performances would be banned near daycare centers, schools, and churches. Performer Jessica Harper spoke in opposition.
This bill is so vaguely written that it would effectively make it illegal for me to exist in public as a trans woman, let alone DJ anywhere but a strip club.
Checking Wall Street right now, a mixed bag. The Dow is up 57 points. The S&P is down 5. This is CBS News.
I was just curious as to why you called it the Paul Revere Show.
The Paul Revere Show is named this way because the poem that we all know, the famous ride, the poem was written to rally the troops to fight slavery and fight for democracy. And so I named the show the Paul Revere Show because I thought it was the time to get on the air and talk about democracy.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m., always on the Civic Media app.
From the Civic Media News Desk, I'm Melissa Kay. Here's what you need to know. Following is a list of upcoming meetings in the listening area for Monday, February 6th. In Wood County, the Property and Information Technology Committee will meet at 9 a.m. at the courthouse. The Wisconsin Rapids Planning Commission meeting will take place at 4 p.m. The Wisconsin Rapids Board of Education Committee meetings will take place from 6 to 8 p.m. In Portage County, a quorum of the Land and Water Conservation Committee will attend the Farmers for Tomorrow meeting in Amherst from 9:30 a.m. to 3 p.m. The Health and Human Services Board will meet at 4:30 p.m. at the Portage County Annex. The Stevens Point City Plan Commission will meet at 6 p.m. in the Community Room. In Adams County, the Administrative and Finance Committee will meet from 9 to 11:30 a.m. The Planning and Zoning Committee will meet from 3 to 6 p.m. and the City Council will meet from 6 to 7 p.m. I'm Melissa Kay for Civic Media News.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Cloudy skies overnight with lows around zero. Winds out of the south, 8 to 15 miles per hour. High temperatures reach up to 29. Tomorrow, mainly cloudy. Lows around 23. Tomorrow night, overcast. Temperatures a bit above average Sunday and Monday, with highs from the low 30s to the upper 30s. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 4 above.
This is Matt LePay, and you're listening to your home for your Wisconsin Badgers on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR, locally grown radio.
1 FM, The Shaw.
Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian.
I'm really trying hard not to go insane from the mind screw that is this situation. Yes. With the I was going to say the GAB, but now it's the WEC, which was audited by the LAB, and then it's now screwed up by the GOP. We're all SOL. Good for us. Congratulations.
Look at all those acronyms. Yeah.
We're the winners.
Tune in for Dueling Tangents every weekday at 2.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media. To learn more, go to our website, civicmedia.us.
Really simple application, but then at the bottom it's going to say, it's required, so you have to put something.
Oh, cool.
You do have to put something, so why not put As Goes Wisconsin?
Even though Brian Kelly, who's coming up next on Dueling Tangents with Luke Mathers, did mention yesterday that his life was potentially in harm's way.
I know, and I love Brian, and I'll miss Brian, but...
We will miss Brian.
We'll miss our Russian mafia.
Oh, he's the best.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time. This is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin!
Hello, Wisconsin! Happy Friday, TGIF. M-effers. I'm so happy that the weekend is here.
I think we're all happy the weekend is here.
But speaking of that, I'm glad to report Brian did not win, but he is alive.
Brian Kelly is still alive. We know that for certain. We heard from him this morning.
We did hear from him this morning. Yes. But in fact, we also heard this morning that indeed, not a lot of fanfare, but in the, you know, maybe some a little more official numbers to be rolled out later in today or next week. But thank you to everyone who took our advice, took advantage of the $1 million ad giveaway, and listed Jane and Kristen, because apparently we won. But it was never actually a competition.
No,
right?
Of course not.
No.
Just a friendly in-housey kind of thing. But yes, thank you. Thank you so very much.
Yes, absolutely. And so we are now, for anyone who did take advantage, now the processing begins and the salespeople start figuring out who's where and which region and
what's the best messaging for you
exactly.
And all that stuff. It's really exciting.
So more to come. And I have to say, you know, as much as I love our promos, I'm excited to get some new things on rotation during the ad breaks.
Definitely.
You know, it's nice to spice it up. So I'm very much looking forward to hearing all of the new small businesses, Wisconsin businesses that we're going to get on air. Because, you know, things get redundant.
A little bit.
All right. Well, we have a fun Friday show.
Busy show.
I'm very excited because on Wednesday we discussed a certain Brookfield alderman who did not mince words as far as what he feels about affordable housing and apparently how he feels about Wauwatosa and West Allis. So
yes.
Here to expound on his very gracious response to that story, coming in at 1:30 today in the final hour, is none other than the mayor of West Allis, Mr. Dan Devine.
He's going to
be here.
Yeah, I'm so excited. He's going to talk about all the great things that are going on in West Allis, because there really are lots of great things going on. I found a song just for him.
Oh, do you think he'll have as much of an emotional reaction as Mayor Katie Rosenberg did?
No, because this one's really bad.
Okay. So that's coming coming up at 1:30. I'm very excited. He is a lovely, lovely person. And then prior to that, during the noon hour, we are going to talk to Shannon Ross, who's been on the show before, but he is the founder of The Community, which is an organization that works both with current incarcerated people and helping them plan their life for when they're going to get out, but also redefining the narrative as far as people who have been released after serving their time. And because there, as of January 19th, there's a new art exhibit in downtown Milwaukee that's all art from either formerly incarcerated or currently incarcerated people. And I was reading the article from Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. That's how I found out about it. So I was like, Shannon, come back on and let's talk about this because it sounds great. Because the art gallery and the person who curated all of it, like the way they talk about it, like this is not like a charity. Like the art is incredible. And so I've seen some of the paintings and the work that's done is like, and like they also went into how people teach themselves to do art and how a lot of them like learn from Bob Ross, which I think is amazing.
That is priceless.
And so I'm very excited to talk about that with Shannon in the next hour. But to kick off this hour, you know, this was news that broke yesterday. And I think some of our other colleagues on different shows spent a fair amount of time talking about it.
They did.
And I have less concern. Let's just talk about what it is. So yesterday, Daniel Bice, who is, you know, in crude terms, the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel's own TMZ reporter to a certain extent. This is the guy who, you know, this is the guy who writes the dirt, right? The stories that get leaked on both sides, you know, and both sides hate him, but both sides also, he's the person that they leak stuff to because he's going to be the guy that writes the story that seems that also ultimately always begs the question, is this fair? Is this inbounds for these political candidates? You know, there was stuff. He wrote a lot about Mandela Barnes. He's written about every candidate, basically. And so earlier, he was also the same reporter who broke the Everett Mitchell story, which I don't even know if we spent that much. Well, we did spend. We did talk about it.
Yeah, we did.
It was the same thing of, you know, is this inbounds? Because the Everett Mitchell story, who was one of the candidates for Wisconsin Supreme Court.
And a Democrat.
On the liberal side.
Liberal side.
And there was a story about him as far as him and his ex-wife during a really ugly divorce and custody battle. His ex had accused him of sexual assault. No charge was ever brought. No crime was, you know, there was no...
There were no charges.
And so, you know, it was, and like they're on good enough terms now. It was 10 years ago, maybe even more. But Bice wrote the story. And it adds complications because of Everett Mitchell is a black man and a candidate. And what does that do for what the fodder becomes once if he were to make it through the primary to the general? So there was that story. And now Jennifer Doerr, who is a candidate who is more conservative and has pretty big name recognition because she was the judge in the Waukesha parade. Her son, potentially,
allegedly
is implicated in a fentanyl overdose at UWM.
A fatal
fentanyl overdose. And so the story that Bice wrote is largely on the point of view of the father of the young man who died and the suspicion and kind of hearsay of friends that his son had gotten these pills from Jennifer Doerr's son. And the story kind of goes on that he tried to talk to her at an event, like she was there for a like political event. They started talking and I guess were having a fine conversation until he told her who he is, at which point she left the restaurant entirely. And I think, you know, I think there's to a certain extent there's this has been a 15-month investigation. Her son has not been charged.
Right.
And, you know, I think it brings up the question again of what's in bounds when it happened, when it comes to candidates, not just for Supreme Court, but we talked about this when, you know, Rebecca Clayfish kind of went on record saying she's trying to recruit more women to run, but of course they don't want to run because they see what happens to their families. And my point was it how they treated your family or how they treated you, but that's a separate case. But I think, you know, because obviously, Wisconsin Right Now, which is a very right-wing publication, They immediately wrote something yesterday saying Dan Bice's reckless and unfair attack on Jennifer Doro's son and outline how this is unethical and everything that he wrote. They did not, I will say, write this when Dan Bice wrote anything about Everett Mitchell.
No kidding.
And, you know, I think it is. It's like, are your kids in bounds when you run for a candidacy? And the only reason why in this situation without having more information is like, is there backdoor dealings of why he had, if there is actually evidence of him being involved? I don't know. Like, I just don't know the line that you cross with these things. It's obviously a more salacious story as far as, is there more there that his parents are protecting him and that the range of outcomes for drug dealers in this country are very wide. And, you know, if he actually is someone who is dealing deadly drugs, that there has been no, even if it's not so much a tie to this person's death, but as far as just in general and figuring out, is this person dealing drugs? And so, I don't know, you know, I thought it was, it brings up kind of the question of like, what is in bounds as far as you get to know candidates in a race that's already weird, right? This is a weird scenario that we're in as far as the most important race that will absolutely be influential in the outcome of our democracy, the 2024 election, if we get new maps, where the abortion criminal ban goes, like, this is the deciding vote for so many things.
Yes.
Of the direction of which Wisconsin will go, and potentially the country will go, because Wisconsin's swing stateness is very important nationally. And so I obviously so much is on the line, and it's just, I don't know. Are kids in bounds? Are your kids in bounds?
But he's 19.
Yeah.
He's not a kid. He is legally an adult. I think if they're under 18, I don't think they're fair game. But if they're adults, and yeah.
But what about the thing, like when they're in the same way, because it's two, what I find similar about this and the Everett Mitchell story is in both cases, there was no charges. And so, I mean, and to his credit, this is for Tobias's credit, he wrote both stories, right? There wasn't one where he wrote it and one where he didn't write it, because using some argument of them, there being charges or not being charges.
Right.
In both cases, there were not charges, but you put this out into the world and obviously people are going to run with it and use it one way or another. And the other thing, I heard this on Devils yesterday, which is a good point of this probably came from the Kelly campaign.
I've heard that too. That's a really interesting, really interesting theory.
Because, I mean, why wouldn't you save this for the general to see who makes it through?
If you were the Democrats.
If you were on the liberal backing Janet Protasiewicz or Everett Mitchell or both, would you save this and for closer to the election when it will be more top of mind for people versus now? And I don't know. I'm interested as far as if it sticks at all. And this sways people's opinions, because it feels like there wasn't necessarily a lot that implicated her or her husband as far as wrongdoing in like messing with the investigation. But it's just another kind of thing that's out there.
It could also elicit sympathy. There are other parents, I'm sure, who are struggling with their kids who have drug problems or are dealing drugs or all of that.
That's true. Well, there's another Jennifer Doro story that I did not see in any Wisconsin outlets, but in a national one about I think I missed my opportunity to get married at a gun range, is all I'm going to say. This is As Goes Wisconsin. I am the judge.
My name is Juanita Segura, and I was diagnosed in November of 2014 with non-small cell lung cancer. The first time I heard about biomarker testing was actually my husband. He just started researching about lung cancer.
And I found out about biomarker testing, and I'm like, why not? Let's try it.
I'm Dr. Jorge Gomez, thoracic medical oncologist at the Mount Sinai Hospital. Comprehensive biomarker testing is looking for either substances in the blood or mutations in some of the genes of the cancer cells that can help us identify special types of lung cancer that can be treated with what we call targeted therapies.
letting my children know brought all of us a sense of hope, to give them hope that mom is going to be around to see you grow up. And I promised them that.
Ask your doctor about how comprehensive biomarker testing before treatment may help you and your doctor decide on the best treatment for you. Visit noonemissed.org for more.
A public service message from Longevity Foundation.
Let's face it, life looks a little different. During these times, we're doing our best to keep our minds and bodies strong. And getting a flu shot helps us stay healthy, so we don't miss out on what matters. Like having game night at home. Yeah, can't do that while sick with the flu. Now imagine family movie night that your daughter can't live without. Well, that's ruined. And don't forget your uncle's socially distanced cookout. See? That's why it's important to be at our strongest. Every year, millions of people in the U.S. get the flu. Especially now, no one has time to miss out on moments that matter. So get your flu shot. Find out more at getmyflushot.org. Brought to you by the AMA, CDC, and the Ad Council.
Serving central Wisconsin since 1940.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids.
UAUK 540 AM, always streaming at waukradio.com.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Network. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinair. And happy Friday.
Happy Friday.
We're very excited for the weekend. You are welcome to join the conversation at 844-967-2789. Now, you know, I'm used to getting our Wisconsin news from our Wisconsin outlets, but then every once in a while, and I think it's going to happen a lot and already is happening a lot in regards to the Wisconsin Supreme Court race.
We're not the only ones who are watching this.
No. New York Times, I think, this week had a big article about, you know, the most important race that you didn't know about. I think Politico had a similar article a week or so ago. But this is from Jezebel, and I was so surprised as I was going through my different kind of places that I collect news.
Sure.
Usually Jezebel is good for a funny feminist slant on different stories. And, you know, it's different than the Journal Sentinel, but
no doubt about that.
Wisconsin Supreme Court candidate is trying to open a gun range that serves alcohol.
Excuse me.
Yeah. Conservative Judge Jennifer Doro and her husband, Brian, are trying to rebrand a gun range linked to an incident in which a bullet grazed a pregnant woman.
Okay.
So it's exactly what it sounds like. So basically, according to local news, Jennifer Doro, Waukesha County Judge, and her husband are developing a indoor gun range that is also an event space. So it could host weddings and other events and would also serve alcohol. Which I feel like isn't part of the concealed carry or whenever you have your gun on you, you can't have any alcohol in your system?
I will check. I'm not sure about that.
I thought that was the deal. But the couple requested a Class B liquor license to sell beer and wine to members and guests of the clubhouse. And the range also will sell firearms and it's a shooting range. And so they devised an alcohol safety policy consisting of hand stamps to prevent members from entering the shooting range after drinking and a breathalyzer to be used on suspicious individuals. So at least in the plan, there is a safeguard between if you've taken a drink and you can no longer go back and shoot your gun. But this was Heartland Sportsman's Club.
Okay.
And they're renaming it
Bullets and Booze.
Bullets and, yes. Well, we know what the name of today's episode is going to be.
It's free. Take it. Go ahead.
Bullets and Booze.
Bullets and Booze. It's yours.
So it's now called Delafield Oaks Range. And when it was still, I think when it was still Heartland Sportsman's Club, that gun club had a series of legal battles over the last decade after the city revoked the club's permit in 2010 when a bullet grazed a pregnant woman who was dining on the outdoor patio at the Delafield Brewhouse about a quarter mile away.
I thought this was an indoor range.
I don't know. Maybe the new one is an indoor range?
Okay, that must be.
But
and by the way, a Wisconsin concealed carry says under the concealed carry license, patrons can only carry a concealed weapon if they have a concealed carry license and maintain absolute sobriety.
So, I mean, from a business point of view, I get it. Because alcohol sales, like nothing has higher margins than alcohol sales. And so if it's going to be both an event space and a gun range, you know, you want to get that liquor money. But it seems like it's a slippery slope of, you know, because I feel like at these club scenarios, you know, a little like, come on, man, like a little.
You'll let me go back.
Yeah,
I only had a couple.
Only had one.
Exactly.
And especially if it's kind of like a members only type club in the old boys club.
Well,
I feel like as someone who works in the legal system, I wouldn't touch this with a 10-foot pole.
I want to hear it. What about freedom?
Well, also, because her husband worked for Homeland Security under Trump, right?
So I think so, yeah.
To each their own. I'm not, you know, I'm kind of making fun of guns, but it's not really. Like, I get it. If you like guns, it's more of the very thin line that a place serving alcohol and allowing people to shoot guns feels like. I feel like you'd want to keep those two things separate.
I don't know. It'll be the perfect venue for shotgun weddings.
Oh, but Jane got extra sleep last night, I think.
I think it's the caffeine.
You're pretty witty this morning. You know, again, maybe nothing there, but just a little bit more information as we... I feel like I know the most about Jennifer Doro this so far. We do know that it was separately confirmed. I asked someone recently who is much closer to the Republican conservative side of Wisconsin. I don't have a lot of those people in my life, but some.
Sure.
And I asked him, so does Dan Kelly really wear a cape? And he started laughing so hard. And then he came back and said, only sometimes.
He wears a cape?
Apparently. I feel like Brian and Luke have talked about this before, but apparently that is like for special occasions. Instead of like a pea coat, he has a special cape.
I'm kind of ashamed to admit that I am pro cape.
Are you pro cape?
Oh, definitely. When Trump announced Space Force, it's like, how can you have Space Force without capes?
That's true.
I think everyone should have a cape.
What about the cape? Is it the
It's the
fashion?
Swishing. It's the swish, the whoosh factor.
And is it the like the draping nature of it and like the tucking in of your arms?
And the swoosh.
And the swoosh.
And the you can take the edges of your cape and swoosh things.
All right. Well, as a weekly, if not daily reminder, make sure you're registered to vote. The primary is February 21st. Also be paying attention to any of the school board races. If there's additional primaries for any of the local and county races in your area, you should be able to check your ballot on myvote.wi.gov. That should be up there already when you type in your address. You can also check your registration there, but make a plan to vote for February 21st. And then again for the general on April 4th. When we come back, you know, they want to make it harder for people to get any kind of public assistance, and yet... Then there's stories that highlight how hard it already is. So we will talk about that when we come back. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
The Shaw 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk.
Locally grown radio from Vesper to Plover, we are your home for news talk and sports. 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
What's your favorite thing about a good movie? What makes the perfect song? And what's it about the first lines of a book that will snatch our attention? If these questions intrigued your artsy interest, you don't want to miss Director's Cut on WFHR every Sunday night from 8 to 9. Your WFHR program director, James, and head of production, Seth, will be diving into the local arts and entertainment, hot topic movies, hidden gems, and more. Audience feedback and requests are encouraged for this fun and open conversation about art in all its forms. It's artists supporting artists in their own words.
Chris Domine is a husband and a father. Chris is an athlete. Chris is even an Iron Man. But 10 years ago, Chris was facing a very different story because his kidneys were failing.
Basically, the doctor said, if you don't get a kidney transplant and if you don't do dialysis, you are going to die.
Fortunately, Chris received a second chance at life, made possible by an organ donor.
You know, your well-being changes from loss of hope to better times ahead.
More than 100 million people in America are registered organ, eye, and tissue donors. People of every age and ethnicity, because they believe it's the right thing to do. Imagine what you can make possible by leaving behind the gift of life. Learn more and sign up as an organ, eye, and tissue donor. Go to organdonor.gov. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Health Resources and Services Administration.
Right arm, right leg.
Left leg, left arm.
Both legs above the knee.
Both legs, part of my left hand.
Lost both my legs in Iraq.
These 9/11 veterans are just a few of the heroes we serve at Homes for Our Troops. For nearly 2,000 severely injured veterans, everyday life has become filled with barriers. So we build specially adapted homes with features like wheelchair access, roll-in showers, and pull-down cabinets that allow them to function independently and focus on their recovery and family. This life-changing gift of freedom is provided mortgage-free to these veterans, thanks to our donors and supporters. But we need you to join us, too, in completing this important mission. Please visit hfotusa.org and help build homes and rebuild lives.
Everyday people begin a difficult and sometimes desperate search for programs that can provide assistance. United Way's 211 is there to connect you to the programs and services you need. For non-emergency information and referral services, call United Way's 211 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. How do you locate a support group for widows or housing for an elderly parent? United Way's 211 is free and confidential and provides answers to these questions and more. Dial 211 for community information and referrals, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
From the Civic Media News Desk, I'm Melissa Kay. Here's what you need to know. Wisconsin Rapids will host the 9th Southwood County Empty Bowls event on Saturday, February 18th. It will take place at the new Focus location on 2321 West Grand Avenue from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. 10 local restaurants are providing a selection of soups, and the day will include basket raffles with products and services donated by local businesses. For $10, guests will receive a handmade bowl crafted by a local potter or pottery student and a meal of soup, bread, and a beverage. Signs and a road in the town of Lincoln near Grand Marsh were graffitied, and law enforcement is asking the public for help. The Adams County Crime Stoppers and Adams County Sheriff's Office are asking for help locating those responsible for damaging Town of Lincoln property. The road signs are on 6th Avenue between Dyke Avenue and Eagle Avenue. Tipsters can remain anonymous and may be eligible for a $1,000 cash reward. I'm Melissa Kay for Civic Media News.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Cloudy skies overnight with lows around zero. Winds out of the south, 8 to 15 miles per hour. High temperatures reach up to 29. Tomorrow, mainly cloudy. Lows around 23. Tomorrow night, overcast. Temperatures a bit above average Sunday and Monday, with highs from the low 30s to the upper 30s. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 4 above.
Listen or wherever you find podcasts. As always, you can join the conversation at 844-967-2789. Good find on that song. Who sings that?
Etta James.
Ooh.
Oh, she's classic.
Great.
Yeah.
So last week we spent some time talking about something that's going to be on your April ballot as far as shall childless, able-bodied adults who are currently receiving public assistance have to be looking for a job in order to continue to get public assistance.
Which they kind of already have to
do. Which they said welfare. Which welfare is a umbrella term for multiple different programs that have all have different qualifying criteria. And, but yes, in most situations, that number of who those people that actually applies to, because a lot of the programs you have to be a parent, a lot of the programs are for elderly or disabled people, for unemployment, you have to be looking for work in order to receive it. So it basically kind of just looks at like unemployed people who are childless and don't have a job and are able-bodied that are on Badger Care.
Well, and aren't these senior citizens?
That's also a good point. I mean, I don't know how many different checkboxes, because I tried to find this out. Like, I was talking to a legislative analyst, trying to be like, how do you find what this number is? And it's too many different boxes to be looking at. But part of the problem, when you add in so many hoops for people who are in need to jump through,
right,
it also delays what they need. And, you know, this was such bigger news during the pandemic when it was unemployment insurance and people who flooded the systems because a lot of people were unemployed in 2020. And
the system just couldn't handle it.
The system couldn't handle it. The protocols within the Department of Workforce, or like who was supposed to be handing these out, is set up in a way that like tries to make it hard. And now a similar thing is happening, or has been happening, with disability. So more than 2,000 people in Milwaukee are waiting for the Social Security Administration's approval to receive disability benefits. In Madison, more than 1,000 people are waiting. So in Milwaukee, the average wait time is 368 days.
What?
So over a year. And if you are disabled, likely you are not, it's not like you can, you're necessarily working. And in Madison's, it's not much better. It's 310 days of how long people are waiting to finally get their benefits that they pay into, right?
Right.
And it takes an average of 227 days statewide, which is up 90 days from where it was in 2019.
Wow.
And 3 months is a long time when you need that money.
Well, what if you need rent? What if you need rent? Where are you going to go for a year?
Well, and this is a story from Milwaukee Journal Sentinel from Corey Hess, and in part of their public investigator series. And I mean, it's just the stories that these are the stories that if you saw it on a crowdfunding page, you'd probably donate it to.
Oh, absolutely.
Because the story starts with with Corey highlighting a hospital social worker named Nicholas Johnson fill out dozens of pages of paperwork for Social Security disability insurance in September after he woke up from a coma and realized he was paralyzed. Johnson, 24 years old, was one of the 877 people shot in Milwaukee in 2022. He was in an argument with the mother of his daughter when the woman's boyfriend allegedly shot him 4 times. One of the bullets went through Johnson's left arm, into his chest, and hit his spinal cord. He can no longer walk or work at his job at Subway or as a part-time clothing designer. Johnson missed 2 phone calls from the Social Security office while he was in physical therapy. He started the application over for a 3rd time in early January. With no income, Johnson can't pay rent, so he moved in with his grandmother, but her home is too small to accommodate his wheelchair, so family members come over daily to carry him from room to room.
Oh my goodness.
And this is just one story, right? And, you know, like so many things, the pandemic was kind of the point of which the gridlock increased and makes it as bad as it is. Partially it's because it's workforce shortage as far as who's there to even process these claims. But it's also the fact that we make it really hard. We make it really, really hard because about 80% of the claims are denied during the first review, and closer to 90% get denied on the second review before the case goes to a hearing, which is where it's most likely has the highest chance of being approved at the hearing. So like you are getting delayed and delayed because we're all paying into this. There's a bunch of criteria you have to fulfill to actually get it, which I get. Because you don't want people taking advantage of the system.
Well, I was just going to say, wouldn't it have been nice if people who applied for PPP loans had the same scrutiny?
Yeah.
They wouldn't have been buying Maseratis and stuff.
Although, you know, I was listening to a podcast talking about that, and people from that department are very defensive about that.
About the PPPs?
Well, the department that moved as quickly as they did to
get the money out.
Get the money out. And it's kind of hindsight, it's always 2020, but as far as having less barrier to entry for that to just get people help in their in that case, they stand by their decision to do that, even though Tom Brady and who else got the Kardashians got
a bunch of people got a whole bunch of money. That's baloney. Like I volunteer to be the baggage checker to make sure that your bag will fit in your carry-on. I volunteer to go through these applications.
Okay.
Happily.
But this is what is required to qualify for Social Security disability insurance. So they have to prove that they are insured, meaning they've worked long enough and paid Social Security taxes. They then must prove they have a medical condition that meets the government's strict definition of disability.
Okay.
They must also go through a 5-step evaluation that includes proving they haven't been able to work for a year and that they are unable to go back to any of the jobs they have held in the last 15 years. And then a person's earnings, in whatever way they are getting earnings, has to be less than $1,470 a month. So they have to be making less than $17,640 a year in order to be considered to qualify for disability. And they're not allowed to have more than $2,000 in your savings account. So, like, they want to keep you poor. And this is one of the better quotes from the article, and said, they don't want you to have money. They don't want you to save money. They just want you to exist. The system was designed to help people get out of institutions and into the community. But right now, it's not benefiting anyone. It's encouraging people not to work because they're scared to lose their benefits. Wow. Which is the same thing with BadgerCare. Of the cliff, and because there's no gradation of, all right, so you're making a little bit more money, you get a little less benefits, but you get some. It's this cliff of
all or nothing.
You make $100 more than what the threshold is, your life's not really improving, but now all of a sudden you've lost all these benefits. And like that makes like any kind of like anyone who's ever worked in anything that requires an incentive structure, like sales. This is an awful incentive structure to get people like working again,
yeah,
and like and choosing to improve their life, by making it this hard and not having the help be available, but then also not have it fall off this cliff once you start to improve your situation.
And I think too, this story in the Journal Sentinel is a really important reminder when you hear news stories about shootings and. You know, they say a non-fatal gunshot wound.
Yeah.
Well, that doesn't mean that their life isn't completely altered for the rest of their life.
I thought about that similarly of, I mean, I guess it was. It was with gunshots. And in the mass shootings that we have so often, and we talk about, like, the death counts, I feel like that always gets higher attention than the injured.
Yes.
Because the injured, like when they just reference injury, you'd have no idea the severity of the injury. It's just kind of like
it's a blanket.
And how much your just entire life is altered. It can be because of something like that.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, it's a really great article as far as having a little bit more understanding of what's going on with people who need help. And if we're all what I can tell qualify for this, and yet we've just made it so hard for them to do it. Cause I don't know if you've ever tried to, navigate a government website.
No,
like I'm a pretty tech savvy. I'm a tech savvy person, pretty smart. I don't have a lot of patience or my attention span's not that long. So those things, like the couple times I've ever had to look into doing that is like, the amount of time I just give up because I'm like, this is too complicated, let alone someone who like maybe didn't finish high school trying to fill that stuff out. Like the complication is the point, it seems like.
Well, and you have a laptop and you have Wi-Fi in your own home.
Yes.
And again, this is the assumption that all of us have that and not all of us have that.
Yeah. Well, for some good news, the economy. We keep hearing about this looming recession. And how's it going? In the words of Larry David, apparently.
Pretty good. pretty good.
Apparently, it's pretty good. Yesterday, the government reported that the U.S. GDP grew by 2.9% in Q4, which topped expectations. And it also means that despite inflation and a looming recession and tech and all these layoffs, that apparently people are still spending.
We're still buying stuff.
People are still buying stuff. And so it's not only, we've not only regained all of the lost output from COVID, but we've also returned to the growth trajectory that we had before the pandemic. So like,
and don't forget, we lost 1 million people.
I know.
We lost 1 million people. Granted, not all of them were in the workforce. Many of them were elderly, but still.
I know. And so it's just, this is where it's, I just don't understand. Like, how is this, the rhetoric that gets spouted on the news and media versus what's actually happening, because I feel like there's always conflicting messaging on, so how are we actually doing and what measurements are we actually supposed to be looking at? But apparently, I mean, this could be a sign of the actual soft landing that the Fed was trying to do.
By raising rates.
Raising rates. And so, you know, raising the rates was hopefully going to knock down inflation. And so far, so good. And it's a resilient labor force. But like the economists who are combing through the GDP report did find a few warning signs that indicate a recession. So consumers are pulling back. I guess personal consumption came in below forecasts, but we are still spending. The housing market has plummeted. It shrank as 27%, which is, as someone who just bought a house and is currently, I'll talk about that later today, is currently dealing with our first homeowner dilemma as of yesterday.
It's wonderful owning a home.
We'll talk about that a little bit later. But and then also companies are slowing down their spending. But so far, pretty good. And so we'll take it from there. But when we come back, TikTok's not going down without a fight. So we're going to talk about it. This is As Goes Wisconsin. Darling, how can I forget now? How can I forget you? Ooh. Security is what I want right now. Your love is all right, but I need a little more. Can't spend your love at the grocery store. I need security right now. Security.
It makes me smile, and you have a piano, but if you can play the Peanuts theme song.
Oh my gosh.
You know he can.
Yes.
On the Devil's Radio.
Yes. Yeah. I love it. Listen to Max Inc. Radio Saturday nights, 6 p.m. to midnight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
My friend Teddy almost set his house on fire. He used a counterfeit, you know, a fake wall charger. He had to go to the hospital.
My big sister Jenna's face turned bright red. She was just showing people online how to use a new cream. She still has the scars.
My brother's friend Billy had to jump off his motor scooter when it caught fire. He fell and got hit by a car. He broke his leg. Blew his chances to play basketball in college.
My BFF Chloe was riding her bike and hit a ditch. Her helmet broke in two. Now, she has a brain injury.
There is a cost to buying cheap. Do you want to pay the price?
Real products are tested for safety. Protect yourself. Don't fall for fake products.
Visit ncpc.org/gofurreal. brought to you by the National Crime Prevention Council and the United States Patent and Trademark Office.
Lights, camera, action. It is time for your close-up with WFHR's Star of the Day featuring Culver's. Listen to WFHR every Friday morning at 8:30. We'll play a quote from a famous movie, name the actor, character, or movie, and you'll win two value baskets and two concrete mixers from the superstars at Culver's in Wisconsin Rapids. Join us Fridays to be WFHR's Star of the Day featuring Culver's.
Locally Grown Radio, your home for news, talk, and sports from Rudolph to Nakusa. 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
40 AM, Wisconsin's home for rational talk radio.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Madnair. Reminder that we love hearing from you. So if you have a topic that we should cover or a guest we should have on, shoot us an email, asgoeswisconsin@civicmedia.us. Is that Iggy Azalea?
Yes, it is.
Is that new? I feel like she had a hot moment and then we...
The moment is over.
The moment is over. But speaking of viral... You know, as of this week, I think it was because we talked about either was it this week or last week that we were talking about UT Austin, along with a couple other universities have said no more TikTok.
Right.
University of Wisconsin system bans TikTok on use of system devices. That was this week as well. So, you know, the fight, this is real, but TikTok is not going down without a fight because they obviously know how much money there is. I mean, there's over 100 million monthly users in the U.S. alone.
So explain to me how they make money. Is it
ads.
So ads that pop up as you're looking mm-hmm. at?
Just like any other social media.
Okay.
I mean, basically, you have to remember anything that's ever free, you are the product.
Without a doubt.
Your eyeballs, your... I mean, it's the same thing. It's like we provide a free radio show and we have to sell advertising to be able to pay for the radio show.
Right.
Right? And it's the same thing with, all the newsletters I get that eventually once they have a big enough audience, they can put advertising on there. I mean, because the other options are a membership. Right. And so ultimately, like all of these social media platforms, if you're not going to be able to pay, if you're not paying to use them, they are using your information or your eyeballs to make money.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they have, and you can tell, I would say, it's maybe not as bad as Instagram feels as far as how many ads you get, but, like, there's a fair amount of ads now. And it's really interesting because you can just tell because one of the things with TikTok, as we've talked about, is, like, how quickly trends happen and things, people are kind of doing the same things, using the same music. And because all these corporations that are trying to advertise on TikTok obviously have a chain of command and like a decision-making process
sure.
that is not always the fastest. So then they find that by the time some poor social media manager has gotten approval to do this idea that they have, it's like very late to the game and sometimes looks a little cringy.
Missed your moment.
I saw something the other day that it was organic content for a Gen Z advertising agency. So it was like their TikTok account, but the service they provide and the company that they are is, you know, trying to help companies talk to Gen Z. And like basically the sentiment of the video that I watched was me trying to explain to one of our clients that no one is interested in your product. Gen Z would rather see it get run over by a car.
That was their messaging?
Kind of. I'm just like, how chaotic and like the very clean aesthetic and like aspirational stuff that sometimes is more attributed to millennial women is not the feeling of Gen Z and they don't want to be marketed to and advertising. And so like trying, you know, how much money is involved in trying to get the right messaging towards young people. And so it's basically just an advertising agency that's like, we can help you do that because we are that. Anyways, I digress. So TikTok they have doubled down. Their lobbying arm has grown very large in DC, and they have this thing called Project Texas. And so they are going on the offensive in Washington, DC, and they have a stepped up effort to counter the calls to ban TikTok in the US. This is over its Chinese ownership. And so they're spending a ton of money trying to convince detractors that it doesn't, it being TikTok doesn't, or ByteDance, doesn't take marching orders from China. And so they've spent over $1 billion between Project Texas, and part of that is lobbying in an effort to rebuild the app on U.S. servers.
They're not going to do that.
What do you mean they're not going to do that?
Well, aren't we banning this from all government?
No, this is their, so Project Texas is their, is TikTok's project to try to convince
them to let it back on.
Actually hasn't been banned yet.
Right.
And so, so basically they've been spending all this money on federal lobbying, but like the, who they're partnering with, which I think is really interesting, because I do not think of this company as, at one point it probably was, but right now I don't think of it as like the pinnacle of innovation and like nimble, agile, cutting edge technology, but their partner, and probably part of the reason why it's called Project Texas, is Oracle. The like massive CRM, like B2B behemoth systems company. and so, yeah, so it's basically they're working with them to try to have like all of this different ways that like all of the servers being on the US, so all the people who are like all of the information that is on coming from US users is going to be stored here. There's like a like all of these people who are involved that are US based. And so they have partnered with Texas company Oracle, and Oracle is helping to host the user data and running the traffic through its cloud infrastructure, and they're also reviewing source code and all their like content moderation tools, and like this is their big, their big effort. So we'll see if it works. But it's also weird to think of like if their last ditch effort is like have Oracle buy TikTok. Because I don't know, Oracle's like, do you know what Oracle is? Have you ever had to work inside an Oracle system?
No.
So like, do you know what Salesforce is?
No.
The radio person. So Salesforce.
I have had no other life, Kristen. I don't know anything outside
of
radio.
Salesforce is like cloud computing as far as, you know, salespeople and marketing, and like basically an entire company's like company information can live on this. But before there was Salesforce, which was all in the cloud, so then all you needed to do was have a login.
Mm-hmm.
And you could be on any computer, and as long as you logged into your, it's like Facebook, it's like all these things. But prior to that, it was systems that were on like on company grounds and had to be like implemented in like a very heavy-handed way. And that's what Oracle was. And I'm sure now they have more cloud systems, but like that was the older company that Salesforce like disrupted. And so it's really random to me that this is who TikTok chose to like work hand in hand in. But what do I know? Your eyes just glazed over a while ago.
You know, yeah. The only thing that I take away from this that gives me any joy at all is the thought of TikTok lobbyists having to make their presentations in 30 seconds or less while they're dancing in front of congressmen.
There you go.
I think that should be a requirement.
But it's also, it's not unique to TikTok, right? So both Meta and Amazon spend way more than TikTok has spent. So Meta spent over $19.15 million in lobbying in 2022. Amazon spent $21.38 million. And, you know, just a reminder that there is a lot of people in your lawmakers' ears at every turn trying to influence what they're going to do.
Can we not call it lobbying and just call it bribes? It's so much easier.
So much easier. All right. Well, we're going to go to top of the hour news. And when we come back, some immigration updates and a quiz. Do you think you could pass the...
Wake up and text. Text and eat. Mm-mm. Text and catch the bus. Text and miss your stop.
Wait.
Text and be late to work.
Sorry, I'm late.
Text and work. Text and pretend to work. Text and act surprised when someone calls you out for not working.
Who, me?
Text and meet up with a friend you haven't seen in forever.
Hi.
Oh, hey.
Text and complain that they're on their phone the whole time.
Text and listen to them complain that you're on your phone the whole time.
Ugh.
Text and whatever. But when you get behind the wheel, give your phone to a passenger. Put it in the glove box. Just don't text and drive. Visit StopTextsStopWrecks.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5.